ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्याज्ञनञ्जनाशलाकय चाक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नाम श्रेष्ठं मनुमापि सच्चिपुत्रम् अत्र स्वरूपं रूपं तस्याग्रजमुरूपुरीं माथुरीं गोष्ठावतीम् राधाकुण्डं गिरिवरं महो राधिकमधावशं प्राप्तो यस्या प्रतीत्कृपाया श्रीगुरुं तं नतोऽस्मि। वञ्चकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। निखिलाश्रुतिमौलिरत्नमालद्युति निराजितापदपङ्कजन्ता आजिमुक्तकुलैरुपश्यामनं परितस्त्वं हरिणां संशयामि। अनार्पितचरिं चिरात्करुणयापतिर्ना कलुः समार्पयितुमुन्नतोज्ज्वलरासं स्वभक्तिश्रियम् हरिपुरता सुन्दरा द्युतिकदम्ब सन्दीपितः सदा हृदये कन्दरे स्फुरतो वासचिनन्दनः। अज्जानुलम्बिता भुजो कनकावदातु सङ्कीर्तनैकपितरो कमलाय तक्षो विश्वम्बरो द्विजाबरो जुगधर्मपालो वन्दे जगत्प्रियकरो करुणावतारो। लादिनी शक्ति स्वरूपाय गौरङ्गसूरिदाय च भक्तशक्ति प्रादनाय गदाधर नमोऽस्तुते। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कन्ता राधा कन्ता नमोऽस्तुते। राधे वृन्दावनादिशे करुणामृतवाहिनी कृपया निजपादब्जा दस्यन्मह्यं प्रदीयतम्। भक्त्या विहीनाय अपराधलक्षय क्षिप्तश्चाकमादितरङ्गमाध्ये कृपामयि त्वं शरणं प्रपानम्। वृन्दे नमस्ते चरणारविन्दम्। वृन्दे नमस्ते चरणारविन्दम्। Welcome to all. Good morning. Pranam. Today we are in our final morning gathering. Final, quote unquote. We already had a trailer of we can be doing this forever, so there's no end to that. So yesterday we shared a few words about the sacredness of matter and creation and nature in connection to both the perspective of Saint Francis and Sriman Mahaprabhu. Today I wanted just to do like a recap of what we've been going through a little bit during our morning session, especially trying to bring the point home, how the journey itself becomes a destination and how life as a pilgrimage moves on. No? So we don't think the pilgrimage is over today, parikram finished, but leave the door open to see, hopefully return home with transformed eyes and seeing the totality of our existence as an ongoing journey, ever-evolving, ever-unfolding journey. So, of course, we began this meeting or this retreat as presenting it also as a type of interfaith retreat, if you will, trying to there to cross-pollinate with Laverne and Saint Francis, not coming here leaving our tradition, Gaudiya tradition, behind, but somehow walking to the edge of our circle, of our tradition, to see the center of our tradition more clearly. As we told many times, detachment could be taking a distance from something to appreciate it in a better way, with a better angle. Somehow we left, quote unquote, left the insiders, insular circle of the tradition, a little bit moving to the border, edge of the circle, cross-pollinating, flirting with sister traditions, so we can get a better perspective of the center of our tradition and the connection of both. Again, we don't want to build thick walls and say other traditions, right? So we spend time with Mahaprabhu, but also we spend lots of time with Saint Francis, hopefully. Again, not in any attempt to convert people in an imposed way of four sister traditions or try to disturb anyone. Well, not even to compare traditions, like competitively. No, this is better, this is worse, this is that. Actually allowing a sister tradition to not only to inform our own tradition, to show their commonalities, but also allowing sister tradition to touch us, to question us, and perhaps even hopefully to transform us, to be transformed by other tradition. As I like to say, if other tradition that transforms us, how much I can call it other tradition. At the end of the day, as we try to make the point these days, everything is one family. No? Other traditions are sister, brother, sun, sister, moon, sister tradition, brother tradition, we're all one family. So again, that was one of the main, hopefully, invitations, central invitations of this pilgrimage, which was to be open, to be transformed, to appreciate not only sister tradition from a safe distance, but to be vulnerable enough to be touched, marked, brand, wounded by it. So in that sense, hopefully this retreat has become in itself a small form of stigmata for each one of us. Because stigmata was a symbol around which the whole pilgrimage revolved. Of course, I'm not speaking here in stigmata in any dramatic sense of visible wounds, and we'll be exploring each one of you. Let's see your hands, show me your feet, or anything. But even in a deeper sense, of allowing the external stigmata comes only because something very deep inside happened. And sometimes something external may not happen, but the internal thing may be happening, and that's important thing. So for us, hopefully, we have been marked, we have been branded, we have been stigmatized in the good sense of the word, in the deeper sense, of allowing love, allowing truth, allowing beauty to leave some mark upon us, allowing each other's company, allowing the sharings. So we return homes branded, return home branded by our Sangha, but our sharing. And you can all reflect on which is the branding you are bringing back home, the markings of love, of grief, different markings. It can all be embraced, it can all fall into the embrace of love. And of course, during these days, big part of our gathering was to hopefully go deeper into the lives of both Saint Francis and Sri Chaitanya Dev, as great lovers of God, one of them being God, loving God, Sri Chaitanya Dev, very paradoxical personality, whose lives become, as we say, embodied theology. So another theme of the retreat was embodiment, which we felt is very necessary for many of us. Sometimes have been practicing disembodied spirituality without knowing it, maybe. But have become created an unnecessary split between body, matter, and spirit, body, and emotions, and this and that. So Saint Francis was a very embodied example of the gospel, as we say. He performed the gospel. He embodied the gospel with his poverty, with his joy, with his tear, with his canticles, with his wounds, of course, with his embrace of the leper and the marginalized. With his love for creation, with his willingness to become small to belong to, it's small enough to belong to everything. Well, you need to be humble, small enough so you can allow everything else to exist and everything else to belong to each other. To the point that he saw the whole creation as a family, and there is place for everyone in that same family. So that was St. Francis' unique way of incarnating and embodying the gospel in this case. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he, in his own way, he also embodied the Bhagavatam. He danced, as we say, the Srimad Bhagavatam, with his tears, with his kirtan, with his humility, with his undiscriminate extension of his own heart and his gifts, his embrace of the unqualified as well, his longing for Krishna, his embrace of Radha's pain of separation in empathic love, in tadatmya, his willingness to flood the entire creation with ecstatic love, to make everyone mad, to make everyone enter the eternal tavern, seeing Vrindavan everywhere. That was Mahaprabhu's basically daily standard, and giving us that same hint. You can also see Vrindavan everywhere. In the spiritual world, as Srila Siddha Maharaj will say, Vrindavan is a state of consciousness that you have to switch in, align with. So both St. Francis and Mahaprabhu showed us that, how to say, religion is not finally proven by argument, by debate, not even by institution, not even by identity alone, but by transformation. They were transformed figures, and therefore they were transforming figures. They created this epidemic of transformation. As we were here so many times, whomever saw Mahaprabhu was transformed just by seeing him. Even if he was in silence, like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, just being close to that person, something contagious started to spread. So that's the power of inner transformation. Now we are invited to inner transformation and to transform by that natural, organic way. So the real question here is not so much what do we believe in. Sometimes many people embrace religion and spirituality more on the level of beliefs. Which are your beliefs? Do you believe in God? Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe that Mahaprabhu was God or not? If you say yes, you are saved. If not, you know where you are going. But the thing is, what our beliefs or our experience, ideally, not merely belief, our faith makes possible and tangible in our body, in our relationships, in how we show up in the world, in our compassion, in our prayer, in our way of seeing the world. That's where we see what's really going on here. How much we're actually embracing a tradition. Where is our heart? Where is our faith? So we were talking the other day, I don't know with whom at this point, too many of you, fortunately. We're talking about movement, the word movement, and how even in classical music they will have, like in a piece, they will have first movement, second movement. So somehow our retreat with our morning sharing has four movements. Well, let's make it musical, why not? So we can briefly recap each one of those four morning movements that somehow try to set the tone for the rest of the day through the sharings, the exercise, the personal contemplation, the sharing circles, trying to keep a theme and interweave. So day one, so I'm forcing you to also recap with me. On our morning, day one, we enter pilgrimage more officially. We spoke about pilgrimage, we spoke about parikram as a retreat. We spoke about retreat, as I said before, of taking a distance from our usual daily dynamics and going to another place with another people, like leaving the familiar, leaving probably the comfort zone, to gain new perspective, to gain perspective, not to run away from anything. Not for evasiveness, not for indifference, but retreat as sacred distance. You can just describe it that way. I'm going on a retreat. I'm going to gain sacred distance. From that sacred distance, I can gain sacred perspective. We spoke about parikram, about walking around something, pariprashna, inquiring all around like parikram, now gaining new perspective from different angles. Parikram, also known as yatra. Yatra meant festival. So it's a celebratory movement. No? We walk all around, each one of us, whatever topic we are exploring, in a celebratory spirit of gratitude. And again, it's not just moving around geography. We did that. We went to a few places. We sweat quite a lot. But also allowing an inner movement, right? Pilgrimage at the end of the day is an inner movement, a movement of the heart. To awaken another way of seeing, as we say, to return home with transformed eyes. Even in the same landscape, new eyes, even the same landscape. So we mentioned how each one of us came here with our gifts, with our wounds, with our questions, with our baggage, literally and symbolically, with our longings. Hopefully not asking to learn something new, but to become available to whatever needed to come for us these days, to the pilgrimage of life. So that was day one. Day two.
Stigmata.
Day two. Don't forget about that, Prema Mai. The connection between St. Francis and Mahaprabhu that we went back and forth. Remember? It's fine, no problem. She likes stigmata. She got trapped there, lost and found a stigmata. It's good. On the second day, we talked about the parallels, so to say, between Francis and Sri Chaitanya Dev and going through many of the teachings and the teachings they embodied, their ecstatic embodiment, their radical simplicity and poverty and inclination to the marginalized, their song and dance and poetry, their nature mysticism. What else? I say that day, if you have something else that I'm forgetting, let me know. And I forgot to ask you. I remember Radhana Gopika mentioned one, which was both of them embodied leadership in a very interesting way. They were leaders, but they were servants. So they led by example. They were not just people telling others what to do, no? But they were doing whatever needed to be done first, embodying the example and naturally inspiring leadership, taking responsibility from that healthy place. We spoke about they had the power to renew the tradition from within, from that example, and many other beautiful attributes that really made a very interesting connection between these two masters, great personalities. So that was day two, second movement of the piece. Third day. No, yeah, I'm joking. Sorry. I don't want to be traumatizing people here on the last day of the retreat. So we enter the mystery of the stigmata more deeply. We have heard already during our first days while going also visiting the monastery, of course, hearing about that. So stigmata as a wound of love. So we spoke how Francis was bearing the wounds of Christ, mystical empathy, and the willingness of tend to his suffering, accompanying him in his suffering of love, again, suffering out of love, how Mahaprabhu was bearing the wounds of the stigmata of Radha's pain in separation by him experiencing empathically her heart. And by this, they were revealing how love was not sentimental. Love also includes pain, the willingness to empathize with all the complexity that it entails, with all the sacrifice that it entails. And then we turn from the stigmata of St. Francis and Mahaprabhu to our own wounds of love, to our own wounding, how that can be a portal to love, ultimately. Love can wound because love opens us beyond our usual capacity. So that feels like a wound. Like I have this, standard X capacity to give on a daily basis, and we have a sudden entry, a sudden rush of love, and the vessel is expanded. And it feels like a wound. It feels like, oof, like pain. I was not accustomed to, but then we realize, oh, I'm able to hold this this new capacity to love. So it's a sacred wounding. Mm-hmm. Entails its own sweet suffering. Again, we talked about the paradoxical sweetness of suffering in love. Not as a glorification of suffering for its own sake. We are not the masochist sampradaya here. But the invitation to allow ourselves to inhabit suffering, to sit with it, to be transformed by the womb. So that the wound can become a womb. It can give birth to something deeper. And then the next day, the fourth movement of the song, which was yesterday, we contemplated the sacredness of matter in connection to St. Francis, of course, Canticle of Creatures, Mahaprabhu's singing in the forest of Jharkhand with all the species in the forest joining in Sankirtan, or him sitting on a sacred pile of dirt, our Gaudiya Agori Lila, or he himself giving us his golden rule, his most important instruction by way of nature, by way of referring to the blade of grass and to the tree, and St. Francis speaking to Brother Sun and Sister Moon and Sister Death and Brother Everything and Sister Everything, and the whole creation becomes one family. Therefore, we reflected in detail how matter is not God's enemy. Matter is God's, we could say, one of God's many languages. He speaks many languages. Matter is one of them. So we better learn that one, because it's quite close to us all around. Like if you're in a country and everyone's speaking that country, you better learn the country, the language. So matter is God's language. Matter is God's sacred energy, already engaged in his service, as we say. And also, as we mentioned and gave the prompt with, matter is God's love letter. One of many. He loves to write God's love letters. We were reading yesterday, love poems from God. So we could say matter is a love poem from God. So those were the four movements we shared in our mornings, and we tried to keep the momentum during the days. And of course, after all of this, I would say the real question is not only what did Francis experience, what did Mahaprabhu experience, or what does Gaudiya theology say, or what does Christian theology say? All of those are great questions, yes. Let's continue asking them. But the real question, to make it radically personal, is, what has been touched in me? Not to make it selfish and narcissistic, but personal. What has been touched in me these days? What has been softened? What has been challenged? What has been unsettled? What has been awakened? Hopefully something. Which wound is asking to become prayer? What part of the world began to look more sacred? Hopefully. What form of love is asking to become more embodied in my life? Anyhow, hopefully we leave the pilgrimage with lots of questions. So I like to say always, I'm not here. I don't hope to just give answers to everything and leave this place with absolute certainty about everything. But hopefully, rather than bringing closure, bringing disclosure and leave the field open. And questions do that work for us. No? Open questions, ongoing questions that we can ask ourselves, return to them again and again on a daily basis. That's a way of keeping the momentum of the pilgrimage alive and really never put an end to it. So a retreat is not complete, I will say, when it officially ends, which is about to happen later today or tomorrow morning. But I would say a retreat is complete. When it begins to shape the way we return, then we can say, okay, mission accomplished, so to say. When it starts to shape the way you return back home, we transform eyes, transform vision. Okay, retreat has been complete. Seal of approval. Stigmata. Mm-hmm. Remember, that's also a seal of approval. So that's when the retreat is complete, quote unquote, because, again, when that happens, the completeness shows itself as an ongoing journey of further transformation. There's no complete like dead end. It's complete, nothing else to do, but further transformation. And then our life becomes an ongoing pilgrimage, wherever we go, wherever we are, for forever. That's the idea, at least for me, to leave this place and realize a little bit more, 1 milligram more. Oh, life, the whole of my life is a pilgrimage. I don't need to come to Laverna. I don't need to go to Vrindavan. I don't need to go to Ananda Dham. I don't need to visit my mom for life to be pilgrimage. No. Wherever I go, I am and I go, I want to walk life as a pilgrim, as a sacred pilgrim, not as a reluctant one. So we talk on day one. Mm-hmm. So anyhow, we may be leaving Laverna soon. In some hours, we'll say, for some of us. And we may be leaving the retreat space. We may be leaving the circle sharing. We may be leaving each other's company in 3D soon, in 3D. But again, the deeper parikram continues. The pilgrimage never stops. Mm-hmm. As I like to say, the destination was never a place to arrive. No? The destination is a way of perceiving. So when you arrive to the proper way of perceiving, you are there. It's not like a dead end, a final point. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to share with you in this regard a few words from one of my books that I have not been published yet, the fifth one, which will be basically, it's like introduction to bhakti by going through some of its main terms, like explaining words like Atma, Guru, Bhakti, Yoga, Vedanta, Parikram. So Parikram will be one. And I shared something about Parikram from that book some days ago. So I'd like to share a little bit more just to conclude. This says like that, in connection to what we just say, you know, the pilgrimage ideally never ends. The deeper surprise of Parikram is that it never truly ends. Every step, certain or bewildered, graceful or stumbling, belongs to the path of ongoing transformation. As Manjwali likes to say, it's all part of the journey. I've learned that from her. So whenever I feel ashamed or bad about something, you try to exclude this does not belong, it's all part of the journey. It's another way, like Father Richard Rohr will say, everything belongs. So, every step, certain or bewildered, graceful or stumbling, belongs to the path of ongoing transformation. Nothing is wasted. Each experience adds another ring to the widening circumference of understanding. Perhaps this is why sacred traditions speak less about arrival than orientation. Less about getting somewhere once and for all, and more about learning how to turn perpetually toward what is worthy of our steps. In Parikram, the destination is simply not ahead of us. It is beside us, behind us, beneath us, before us, everywhere we turn. That's the destination. We do not walk in order to escape elsewhere, but to deepen our relationship with what has been here all along. And so we continue walking. Not because developed is elsewhere, but because intimacy is not exhausted by arrival. So now, all that to say, as the famous saying goes, the journey itself is the destination. Because sometimes we become too much like goal-oriented. I prefer to become more presence-oriented. And understand that since love is ever-evolving, there's never a final arrival point. You can always arrive deeper. There's always a further arrival. So in that sense, the journey is the destination. There's always a journey to a further depth. Therefore, enjoy the ride. Right? We don't want to make, if the journey is a destination and the ride is miserable, good luck with that. So enjoy the ride. Ride in such a way that it's enjoyable. susukam kartum. So as we are gradually about to return home, perhaps just going one more time to Francis, one more time to Mahaprabhu, what it may mean to return home with Francis, how we are carrying Francis back with us, in our pocket, in our hearts, in our minds, in our everything. So perhaps to return home with Francis, maybe to, becoming a little more simple, a little more available. I mean, he was very available, but a little bit more, from our side at least, a little bit more, fraternal with creation, a little less defended by status and control, a little bit more like releasing, a little bit more, brainstorming, heartstorming.
Bold.
Okay.
Humble.
A little bit more open to read the love letter of God. Okay.
Playful.
A little bit more playful. A little bit more willing to be a fool. Holy fool also. Yeah. Okay. Many things. So many things in ways we can embody Francis. Because again, these great figures, as we always say, guru is a mirror of potential. Right, it's our own potential appearing in front of us. So all these personalities are somehow reflecting back all that we can be in potential. So a way of taking them back with us is not just saying, Ki Jai Francis, you are so humble, that's so great, you are so poor. And he will reply, the wind will come back saying, what about you? If you appreciate me so much, how much are you willing to embody all this, right? So anyhow, a few reflections how we can bring Francis' essence back with us and embody that in the depth of our hearts. And what about Mahaprabhu? What it may look like to return home with Mahaprabhu, although he's already with us and home, but he can be always deeper present with us, becoming again more humble, probably more forgiving, more compassionate,
more fearless,
abhay. More eager to sing from the authentic core of our being.
Moved from within.
More dancing through life.
More dancing through life. Okay. More willing to dance through life. That's a nice way to define, to write an autobiography. He danced through life.
Desire to be transformed.
More having a deeper desire to be transformed, more availability to the vulnerability that love requires, more available to the vulnerability that love requires. Yeah.
Something more trusting.
More trusting. So again, all these things are ways of adoring Mahaprabhu, adoring our Ishtadev. It's not just moving a lamp around and saying Mahaprabhu Ki Jai, but committing ourselves to embody the virtues they embody. Well, that's the ultimate worship. That's the ultimate adoration. If not, as I think I write in Radical Personalism, if not worshiping Guru, worshiping Mahaprabhu, worshiping Francis can become the best excuse not to follow into their footsteps. Now I make a big pompous puja, bring the bells. And so everyone looks at me, look how much I'm worshiping them, so I don't have to actually, in one sense, become them. In one sense, I'm not saying become Mahaprabhu, but embodying the essence of what they're trying to get. That's why, for example, Jesus never said in the Bible, if you study the Bible, Jesus never said, worship me. He always say, follow me. But most, Richard always say, but most people worship him, so they don't have to follow him. Because it's way harder to follow someone than to just worship someone from a safe distance. So hopefully we can return home with this willingness to embody the essence of these great masters. And again, to return home with both, maybe living how to live more as a sacred pilgrim, because they were a sacred pilgrim. Wherever they went, that place became a place of pilgrimage. That's what all of our traditions do. Oh, the saint came here and sat here. In our tradition, we have this, how do you say in Sanskrit? Place of resting, baitak. No, you go to Vrindavan, any place we have Baitaka of, I don't know, Janavadidi and the shores of Radhakund. So just a shrine commemorating that someone sat there to take rest. It's like, what? Like a napping corner you're celebrating? Yeah, because that person's walking was pilgrimage, wherever they went. Even if they are stopped for 5 minutes to take a nap, that becomes a holy shrine because they're walking as pilgrims. So we can also do the same, not necessarily because we may be on that level, not necessarily because every step we take in life feels necessarily hyper-mystical, but maybe because every step can become part of the path. As we say, nothing is excluded. Everything belongs. It's all part of the journey. Where the journey, hopefully, itself becomes home. Hopefully, we can find home in the journey and the journey in home. So anyhow, a few words I want to share with you today. I didn't want to make it that long, a little bit more recap. And also, I want to give you a surprise before Patrak leaves. Now, if you urgently need to go to the bathroom, you go, please. That's part of the pilgrimage as well, right? The beauty and messiness of the pilgrim's life. Pilgrimage continues in the bathroom, just in case. That's a whole other conversation. I won't go there. But that day, I think we were talking about bathroom generally is one of the most ordinary places we will think of, but you can make it a shrine and a place of prayer. And very soon I'll be sharing a podcast with Patrick Woodhouse on the life of Etty Hillesum, a very mystical person. And she was, well, a victim of the Holocaust, to summarize, but she will have a very deep transformation and found in the bathroom her favorite place of prayer. And she will say she went to the bathroom and almost like by force of something deeper, she will kneel down and start to pray and stay there kneeling down for hours in the bathroom. So don't take the bathroom for granted. We'll see what happens when Patrick comes. Maybe he's complete. If he comes, you never know. Everything can be a portal. Don't underestimate. But anyhow, I was saying that I want to also to share with you a little surprise that didn't came to happen in the way I wanted, but to some degree it happened. So I wanted to get a message, a personal message for each one of you from Father Richard Rohr, which is a friend of mine and a friend of many of you, even some of you may never have met with him. But so I was trying to get, during all these days, like trying to get some video message of him to show you. There have a screen there, so let's just use the screen to show it. So I was trying to contact him. So I was invited to call Richard and ask him about it. And he said that he's deeply honored by the invitation to be asked. I'm reading literally what was said. He's deeply honored to be asked to share something. He sends his prayers and blessings, but he is not feeling well these days in terms of health. So it's not a good time for him to record an audio or a video. So, of course, we honor that. No, he's 83, 84 already, and he has some health issues, as you can imagine, at that age. But he sends his gratitude and he sends his prayers and blessings. So that way he's making himself present. Maybe I'm thinking we can just try to reciprocate by a moment of, how to say, sending him affection and wellness all together for a few seconds. I'm sure he will receive that and he will receive that, so we can just close our eyes and send our affection to our dear friend, mentor, well-wisher, Father Richard Rohr. Okay. Father Richard Key. He's a big part also of my life and a big introduction to Franciscan spirituality. So he's a lot to blame for us being here together today, whether you know it or not. So I'd like to conclude with an exercise like we have been doing each morning to continue to embody what we have been sharing each morning, each day. So it will be the classical format, groups of three. We'll see how much we can make groups of three. And each person taking turns of 2 minutes to speak, me marking with the singing bowl, me marking with the microphone, and the rest of the group simply listening, witnessing without interrupting, advising, preaching, blah, blah, blah. And that said, at the end, if someone feels that regarding anyone's sharing, there is something you would like to share as a question, as input, you can do that after this exercise is finished. Also, we want to give space for that. So I will share the three prompts. Of course, I will be sharing in between, but I will share each of them now, just for you to know if you want to write them now. So the first one is, what part of me has been moved, softened, or awakened during these days? Of course, it can be more than one part, but you can choose one. What part of me has been moved, softened, or awakened these days? That's the first prompt. Yes, go into the second one. That means you want me to say it again? Oh, okay, okay. No, no, it's fine, good. That means to live life as someone who falls in love with everything. Like, on point, our breathing should be just mere sighing. Second prompt, what is something I feel ready to leave here or entrust to this sacred place? What is something I feel ready to leave here or entrust to this sacred place? Leave your local offering to La Verna, even if it's a shed skin like the snake, right?
Do you mean something which you want to give up or some offering?
Both. They are not different. It's something you want to release, to give up, to leave, but it's an offering into itself. Yeah. So we have an offering. Like the snake shedding his skin, something I'm ready to entrust to the sacred place. Third prompt, what kind of inner posture do I want to return home with? what kind of inner posture do I want to return home with? Okay, so I will stop the recording first. Sriman Mahaprabhu Ki Jai, St. Francis Ki Jai, La Verna Ki Jai, Stigmata Ki Jai, everything Ki Jai, all of you Ki Jai. Gaur Premananda.